Hi, welcome to And It's Writing, a podcast where two writers have a few drinks and some laughs while we discuss writing and publishing topics. I'm Amy Avery. I write adult fantasy. At the time of this recording, DC will still be away for a few episodes. They will be back, but in the meantime, I've got some guests lined up. Today, I'll be talking with Fiona Finn about fan fiction. Could you tell us a little bit about you, what you write, and your upcoming book?
Absolutely. So I wrote an adult fantasy novel. It's a queer romance, but mainly a fantasy. Its name is The Crack at the Heart of Everything, and it's due out in November. November 12th is my release date. And I'm just super excited. It's my debut, so I'm like over the moon that it's actually happening.
Hey, do you want to give us a little elevator pitch about it?
Yeah, so the story itself is about, it's villain point of view. It's about the evil dark sorcerer we all know and love who curses himself to die when he summons an army from hell to like win the ongoing war for his empire. And the curse is such a nuisance, he gets kicked out of the palace and basically hunted into this world that he's helped conquer that he's never actually stepped foot in before. So he's a bit of a hermit and he's just, his whole world view explodes and he has a moral crisis.
I love this.
That is the novel.
And you have like the best title. It's a great title.
Thank you. It like came to me, as most great ideas do, either in the shower or in a car ride, and I was driving home one day and it just like punched me in the face. I'm like, that's it, that was the title.
Those are the times
It
when
is,
like your
yeah.
brain just gets going. So I don't know how many ideas I've had either in the car or in the shower and had to be like, okay, remember this, remember this, remember this until you can write it down.
Better than the ones that like come in the middle of the night when you like wake up in like a sweat and you're like, I have to remember that. And then like you don't, you inevitably don't.
I have woken up in the middle of the night, done that, and like grabbed my phone off the nightstand, written a Notes app note, and then woken up in the morning and gone, this is complete gibberish.
Yes, but it could have been great. So
it could have been great.
Good thing you wrote it down.
Yeah. So yeah, so I guess we'll just go into the topic. DC and I have done, we did kind of a very, very brief surface level discussion of fan fiction about what it's like to kind of scratch off the serial numbers and publish it as original. But it was very surface level. So we're going to kind of go a little bit deeper because we both kind of come from a realm of fanfic. I guess my first question is going to be just a little personal question, which is if you're willing to admit what fanfic you wrote. Like for what fandom?
Oh, I have no shame. So I attribute like any sort of like skill I have is just from like writing fanfic for basically like the last 25 years. I love it. But I wrote mainly, so like, you know, younger years, that stuff doesn't count. But like my main fix in like the last, you know, 5, 6 years, Star Wars, and then most recently Baldur's Gate. So I tend to write for rare pairs. I just don't know. I don't know if it's my taste or I just have a thing for villains. And typically I like will gravitate towards some obscure villain who like has some shred of like moral decency in them. And I like give them a happy ending. That's just what I love to do.
I mean, the villains are great to explore. They're just fun.
They are. They have so much trauma to explore.
They do.
It's like the heroes get their trauma, but normally it's like an extension of like their hero's journey, and like the villains just start out with like a ton of baggage. And it's like, well, no wonder you are the way that you are. So Star Wars, I wrote Armitage Hux and Poe Dameron. I have a Terms of Surrender is that was like my 300K pandemic like stress
Oh, wow.
novel. And I wrote it in like a year and it's like three novels worth. And I'm like, well, crap, I should probably write an original story if I have this momentum. And I did. And it got picked up. So great.
Yay. It
Yes.
all worked out.
It did.
Yeah, that's a lot to write in a year.
It was anxiety. It was, everyone thought they were going to die. It's like, I could die in a pandemic, so I may as well just stay inside and write all day.
Yup. That was a time. So we both, like I said, have kind of done fan fiction. I mostly, once again, I did a lot of younger year stuff, did a lot of Sailor Moon, did some LJ Smith. My more recent stuff is mostly Dragon Age.
Oh my God, it's so good. Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah, it's a lot of fluff.
Who do you want to say who you're pairing, like your of your heart
I
DC?
did an Inquisitor Dorian one.
I was completely Dorian. Like that was my guy. So like
Dorian is mine. Yeah.
I don't think I like ever even cared about anybody else except him.
So yeah, it's Josephine and Cullen. I ran wrote a little one-off fluff for a friend, but most of it was my novel length one was a Dorian Inquisitor one that mostly was from it was kind of a dual POV, but I loved exploring Dorian because he has a lot of trauma.
Absolutely does. That's why he needs so much fan fiction. He was like one of the most popular ones. He got a lot of fic.
I think fanfic, there's a lot of exploration of those things that you don't see in, you do see it in the source material, but I think fanfic writers really love diving deep into that angst.
They absolutely do. And I think in like certain types of characters, like Dorian and like who I'm drawn to, you don't really see those stories a lot in traditional fic. You just, they don't really fit the mold of like the hero, the typical hero. So like fanfic is like, even if you are just searching, not necessarily for like the fix it fic because this is your favorite character, but like I go after like the certain types of characters because they're ones I can't find in traditional stories. So I think that kind of, you know, segues maybe a little bit into this episode and how like you see a lot of fanfic authors getting picked up. And I think it's a lot of it is like they have an established, you know, audience that's already existing and hopefully will translate into traditional sales. But also I feel like publishing is like slowly embracing these other kinds of characters and stories. Like it's like pulling teeth. Like they're not there yet, but I think they're seeing the success of fanfic and realize that there's like an untouched market or an untouched trope or appeal or some sort of draw to get readers reading. Because I don't think people have stopped reading, but I read more fanfic now than I ever did when I was younger.
I think that it used to be that the phrase like, oh, it reads like fan fiction was kind of like an insult, which always made me mad, because I never saw it as an insult, but a lot of people used it that way. And now a lot of people are like, oh, I love this. It's like fan fiction. because there's kind of a vibe.
There is a vibe. And also all of us who were writing fanfic 20 years ago are now still writing like just our original stuff now. And I don't think that like we've grown up with it and like fanfic has grown with the authors who have been in it for so long. So it's really just like there's gems out there. There's such good stories. And it doesn't surprise me at all that like authors are getting picked up by agents or even like publishing houses are seeking them out because it's like you basically have like 20 years of experience at this point if you're like us who have been doing this for so long.
Yeah, we will not talk about the fanfiction.net and LiveJournal days.
They're a rite of passage.
I got an email from LiveJournal recently that was like, here's your badge for 21 years. And I'm like, oh, I never deleted it, did I? So,
And if you become super famous, people are going to go find it.
yeah, they'll find it.
Astrolat, like, I think it's common knowledge now. She was like one of the founders of AO3, but she's also
Is that Naomi Novik?
Naomi Novik. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Astrolat is Naomi Novik. And I think when she first started publishing, like, she tried to keep the identity separate, but she also never stopped writing fanfic. She, like, posted a fic like last year and it was fantastic. And I'm like, thank God, because I don't want to be that author who's like, well, I see success now with my original stuff. I'm can't spend the time on fanfic. No, I'm always gonna go back to my roots.
It's like a happy place.
Yeah, it really is.
I think there is a difference in like the pressures, because like fanfic is everybody's there for a good time. Yes, you're gonna have haters and stuff. There's always fandom drama, but in general, everybody's just kind of there because we like being there. There's not like the sales pressures. You're not under like a publisher schedule and stuff, which I do enjoy because it does get my books out into bookstores, which is fun. But like the fanfic is kind of like a happy place just because it feels like a little family in a weird way.
Yeah.
I don't know, I'm rambling.
No, I your community, it's like that is like I think part of the appeal of fandom is that you have this built-in readership already, and because it's free, because it's like a gift-giving culture, it's like the positivity is it's something that you can't like in traditional fic, like all your publishers, your agents, you know, everyone says, don't go look at your reviews. And I'm like, what do you mean? I can't. And but it's different because you're going in from a perspective of this is something in fic that someone is gifted for free. It's out there. It's like the criticism isn't going to be as, you know, surface level. I've gotten plenty of comments where they're like, I have this opinion. And I'm like, okay, well, that's fine. But in traditional, it's like, yeah, you're going to be selling a book to a person, they're going to have put money into it. So if you let them down in some way, they don't have any qualms of telling you why. And that's going to be a bit of a shock, I think, once my book comes out and you inevitably encounter a review like that. It's going to be a little, I just expect it to be a little uncomfortable.
It is different. It is very different. Yeah. So one of the things we did want to talk about was this kind of we kind of brushed on the fact that the stigma does seem to be kind of fading because of, you know, people like Naomi Novik, just because of more of them getting picked up, that, you know, the idea of people having written fan fiction and books having kind of fan fiction vibes or fan fiction roots is not as seen as a negative thing as it used to be. But we also kind of wanted to talk about the kind of phenomenon of authors getting picked up from fan fiction or with their fan fiction, and kind of retooling that into published work. About the discovering them, I've actually heard on podcasts with agents and or seen it online that agents have approached fan fiction authors being like, I read your fic, I loved it. Do you have anything you want to submit to me?
Yeah, I think it was the love hypothesis. I think
I think that was
she was
one.
approached like specifically for that story because it was like Raylo, if I remember right.
It was.
Yeah, so like an agent found her through AO3 and was like, how do you feel about making this, you know, into an original story? I can't imagine someone like how. I wouldn't believe it if that happened to me. I'd be like, are you kidding me? You're not real.
Like, you're a troll.
Yeah.
This can't possibly be real. Double check the email address, make sure it isn't one of those ones where they've kind of, you know, faked the URL a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. And I guess the most recent one is Manacled, which is that Draco Hermione fic that is so funny. I remember encountering this the name, the title of this on the internet. And but I was encountering it in traditional publishing spaces. So like people who are just talking about great books and like, do you have a book to recommend? And then people are saying Manacled. Have you read Manacled? Manacled. And I'm like looking it up and I can't find it. And then like suddenly like I follow like a clue and I realize it's fanfic. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Because like people were not like, what's a great fanfic that you've read? It's like, what is a great book you've read? And that was before it ever got picked up. And I think that says a lot. Like I'm gonna read I haven't read the Hermione Draco version, but I definitely am going to read it when she comes out with her original version.
And I've seen instances online, I think I've seen them just on like TikTok and stuff, maybe even on Etsy, where people will take fan fiction and like bind it. They'll actually print it and bind it like a book, the people who do book binding. So there are people who are, you know, treating fan fiction like physical books, even
Yeah.
though it's mostly online. So that's kind of neat to see another like blurring of the lines there.
Yeah, that like blew up recently. It was I mean, I think it's awesome when it's this collaborative effort between author, reader, and like the bookbinder. Because I bound my Star Wars fanfic when I was finished with it because I just wanted to have that experience of like holding a book of something I wrote, and this was like before I like wrote and queried my original novel. I'm like, well, this is the closest I'll ever get. Go figure. But yeah, it's like it kind of leads you into this realm of like, yeah, blurring the lines, like you said, like where people are spending way more on a bound fanfic than they ever would on a printed, like, hard copy of their favorite novel. Like, I know it's very expensive to have one of those made. So publishing must have picked up on that, and they're like, well, they've got money to burn, so
And I do wonder in some ways if part of some of the trends we're seeing now come from the same kind of well of, like you said, people like us who have been reading and writing fan fiction for, literally a couple of decades, and now are, consuming traditionally published books as well. Because now there is kind of that trend in both the romanticy and the cozy fantasy, which I see the cozy fantasy coming like directly out of like fluff fan fiction.
absolutely. The coffee shop about you, it's like they are absolutely following those tropes that used to be pretty exclusive to fanfic. And you're right, like, even as authors, we're still also consumers. So, like, having seen both sides and then the fanfic side, it's we're absolutely like pushing publishing in this direction, just in the way that we interact with fandom and fic, and then also with traditional publishing. Like, it's really interesting to see happening in real time, and like, honestly, to be, I feel like I'm a part of it. And even though my story isn't fanfic, it's not repurposed fanfic, it definitely follows and embraces all those tropes. Like, I wrote it as like a love letter to like the villain redemption stories I've been writing for fanfic for years. So it's just got my own characters in it, but like the beats are the same. The emotional journey that the character goes on is it's not the first time I've written the story, I guess I can say.
Yeah, and one of the other ways that I think I see traditional publishing kind of leaning into some of the things that I used to see in fan fiction is I don't know for sure if this was entirely a Tumblr thing or if this happened elsewhere, but I saw it on Tumblr, things called Big Bangs,
Yes.
where they would do like the crossover and you'd get artists and you get fan fiction writers and they would work together. And now you see in traditional publishing when authors will do like a pre-order campaign and get like the art cards of their characters or bookmarks and you'll get prints. And I was like, this is just kind of like the Big Bang thing, but you're just collaborating in the traditional
It
space.
is. And like the all the awesome crates that people do when they like bind a book with new artwork and put the author and the artist together. It's exactly, you're totally right. Just like a big bang. It's wonderful. I love it.
That's actually, I don't know if you saw, but I actually got to be an owl crate, which was
I
amazing.
did. It was beautiful.
It was very much like that because they were sending me the artwork and I'm just like, ah.
That's so special. That's so
So
fun.
it's definitely cool to see and collaborate with people like that.
Yeah, I mean, that's like having come from that, it'd be really hard to like give it up in the traditional space, because it's almost like fic was such a, it's such a fuel. It's like this ongoing, like every comment, every kudo, every share on social media is just such a good motivator to like keep you posting that next chapter. And so to kind of create a traditional fic in a vacuum where you don't have that feedback constantly incoming, it was a really like different experience. Like, it's different, but we don't have to give it up completely. Like, what we've the positives of fanfic and community. It's like we're seeing where there's like a compromise between the two, and you can still kind of get that experience with community. Because like, I don't want to be inaccessible to my readers. I want to be able to like answer DMs, and like, I guess in an ideal world, you would be so popular that you wouldn't be able to keep up with them all. But like, I don't know if I just want, I want that relationship with my reader. It's, I don't want to have to give that up because of circumstances or because of expectations from publisher. This is how an author should behave with their readership. So it'll be curious to see. And I guess your book is out, so like, how's your experience been with that so far?
I haven't really gotten DMs yet, but I have gotten, comments and reviews. I don't read Goodreads reviews because I want that to be a reader space, but I do if I'm tagged in a review on social media, I'll go see it because I figure that's an invitation. And so I'll see those and I'll like those, and occasionally I'll comment on those, which is really cool. So that's kind of like the equivalent, I think, of leaving a comment on a fic is like posting on Instagram and being like, I like this book by author, tag.
Yeah.
So it is kind of neat to see. It hasn't been as personal as fan fiction so far. It's weird because in fan fiction, you are all part of the same community already. Whereas in traditional publishing, I feel like I'm letting other people initiate that contact because I don't want to go into spaces that might make other people uncomfortable. Because I know right now there's kind of a thing about authors intruding onto reader spaces, which is very different from the fan fiction community.
It's absolutely, yeah, no, you're totally right. But like at the same time, social media, at least that people have a way to interact with you and engage with you, and like you choose whether or not you do want to engage. Yeah, good reads is like, I wonder where the future with that kind of lays, because there's just been so much drama surrounding Goodreads lately.
I'm just kind of like, we're just gonna let that hang out over there, and I'll just be over here on my other social media.
Yeah. Yes. Write the sequel, write the next book, the next series. But at the same time, like if someone really wants to like share their thoughts with you, just having a space, having the ability to communicate, reach you, I think is, at least for me as an author, like that's personally important, I guess. But I'm in the indie space, so like I'm small press, and so I don't expect my book to like blow up. I don't think it'll get to the point where I have to like shut down DMs in case like people are bombarding me with like feedback.
As I say, you never know. Some of the small press books really blow up, and some of the big five books don't go anywhere. So there's an element of luck no matter where you're publishing.
That's very true.
Trying to think if there's anything else. We kind of meandered, but that's kind of the nature of this podcast. We tend to meander.
We can go back and re-record something.
No, that's fine. That's like, so that's kind of how this podcast goes. Are there any other points that you wanted to touch on before we start wrapping up, kind of on this subject?
I think we hit the main ones.
So I guess that means we've kind of hit the point where we're going to start wrapping up. I will ask you to share with our listeners where they can find you online, any socials, websites, etc. Kind of remind them about your book, and then we will call it a day.
Again, my name is Fiona Fenn, and you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok, all by the username by Fiona Fenn. And I have links up. My book went up for pre-order this week. So,
Yay!
yes, you can go find it in all the major bookstores. And of course, buying direct from my small press publisher is like the best way to throw some royalty money my way. But feel whatever is, accessible, convenient, whatever works for you. In the end, it all shakes out the same. But I appreciate any support. And thank you so much for having me.
Yes, and we will put all of those in the show notes and on the web page as well once the episode goes up. Well, thank you so much for joining us. It was a fun conversation.
Yes, it helps break down those walls of shame that still exist a little bit. Little bit by little bit, they're going away though.
Yeah, we're slowly eroding away that wall.
Yes,
Just chipping.
exactly.
All right. Well, like I said, thanks again, and I will catch you later, and thanks to our listeners, and we will see you again soon. Thank you.